Hello and welcome to Further Research Needed, the only place that biologists wear lab specs. My name is Christopher Wood, and today I'm joined by my lovely co-hosts,
Jan-Philipp Leising
and Hannes Feurer.
Cool. And today we're going to talk about the topic of scientism and the rise of scientism, specifically over this kind of short period recently. So a little bit of background. I watched a YouTube video where a commentator noted that the creation of a lot of Elon Musk's projects defy logic, but people are willing to back them with millions and millions of pounds because of this new rise of scientism, which piqued my interest in the term and also whether we are seeing the so-called rise. So I suppose I want to start the episode to see what do you guys know about the term scientism?
Okay, I know the least, I feel like. So I actually Googled it a couple of days ago because in the meantime, after we talked about it, I had already forgotten about it again. But I think if I remember correctly, it's sort of like that science is glorified in the sense of that it can't go wrong, and it's the what is it called, like be all, no, like the final thing. Mm-hmm. Almost like a religion, but sort of like the idea that science is going to provide, and whatever has like a scientific tinge to it or like a scientific buzzword, then that's the next big thing, and it's going to be huge, and it's going to save us all. Yeah, I hope that's just about.
That's good.
About that's right. Good. Otherwise, I'm the control group that doesn't know anything.
No, that was good. I like that definition, and I'll talk about that. So that was kind of my starting point for the understanding of the word before I'd Googled it, before anything. When the guy mentioned it, I was like, okay, that's, I understand that what he meant by the word scientism. Hannes, what do you know about that? What do you understand by the term scientism?
I would say scientism is, oh my God, sorry for that bump of the microphone. That was probably very loud. Scientism, I would say, is the proposition that only science, only the scientific method is able to provide knowledge, and all the other methods are flawed if best. Generally, we can obtain knowledge through a lot of methods, right? And the scientific method, which is also quite ill-defined, but I guess in a way you can call it an iterative way of experimenting and hypothesis testing and model building, is the only reliable way to generate knowledge. And this is clearly not true, I would say, to start with.
Ooh, oh, really? Interesting. Ooh.
The argument that you are making right now, I have made to friends and family before.
Yeah.
And I'm but not sure if I would actually step away from that.
Knowledge about the natural world, for example, is different from knowledge, but there are other things that we can know than the natural world, right? And I think that's important to keep in mind. But I think scientism generally makes this claim that this is all that matters, and whatever you approach, you can approach it with a scientific method, and I would not subscribe to that. If you want to study the natural world, sure, the scientific method is the best we had, but it's far from flawless. And I think scientism is the, I don't even want to say idea, because I don't think there's any strong intellectual basis for it. I feel like it's a very popularized thing. I see it on social media and so on. Mm. And there are popular supporters for it, but I don't think there's intellectual, philosophical basis for it. That's why I wouldn't really call it a position or something like that. It's more of a, maybe it's a bit of a mainstream thing that you see a lot. And did I finish my point? Maybe I didn't. But now I forgot what I wanted to say.
I think you've given a really good summary. I think it's nice that both of you cover the broad strokes of both the two broad definitions I found for scientism. So Philip I think is going for that scientism is an excessive belief in science and that the good that science can bring. And for Hannes, it's the intellectual assumption that only the scientific method brings knowledge. And it's interesting. So I thought that this was a recent phenomenon, and it is absolutely not. It almost occurs at this. Yeah, it's huge. It's like it. Even I think there's. I found a quote from Francis Bacon, who was, the beginnings of the Enlightenment, and he was beginning to propound scientism as a point that the only way to generate knowledge is to use observation. He wasn't talking about the iterative scientific method, which comes later, but more that we should only accept what we see through our senses, and that is the only way we can consider truth. And this is, and the Enlightenment was the reaction against the kind of the excessive belief in the classics and that only knowledge from the ancients could give it. So to be fair to them, they are rebelling against a system. And so they're probably using a lot of hyperbole. They're trying to sell their whole new concept of thought to people. So right from the very beginnings of science, or the evolution of the scientific method, you start to begin this also parallel concept that is scientism. And that was very much the knowledge generation process from science is the only one that we can trust. And that's fine, and that goes on for a while. But then the parallel one comes in where we begin to only trust science, and science has the answer for everything. And I think Hannes was right there on the cusp of it, which was that an excessive or a scientific, the excessive belief in science that we can begin to use science to explain love, trust, justice, all these kind of more ephemeral concepts, which maybe require a different set of philosophical toolkit to begin to.
That's exactly right.
To find a common truth, I would say, not a absolute truth, but a common truth. In you might need other systems of thought, and that's the two general major. Sort of definitions I could find of scientism. It turns out that it's a very, like again, Hannes pointed out, it goes into, it's a social media topic. So it's taken on by people who want to fight the science versus religion argument and say, people are saying, often religion, people who are pro-religion often say, well, science is now becoming a religion. And that's just as bad by your own definitions. And they use it as a counter argument to scientists being like, look, religion is bad, which I kind of would agree with, I think.
So what's the part you would agree with?
That an excessive belief in science becomes a religion, and at which point you've pretty much lost any moral high ground that you could possibly think about when you're arguing against another religion, because if your argument is, well, science has said science says it's true, therefore it's true, you're just as bad.
Right.
Yeah, yes, but I think there's also like a tinge in there that it's like poorly done, right? In the sense of, like, if you did the proper, correct science, I wouldn't even disagree with that statement that much. Like, I don't know if I would say that science is a religion to me, but it definitely guides a lot of what I do in terms of like how I make choices in my life and all these kinds of things. But the problem is when it becomes dogmatic, like religion, in the sense of, well, this is what science said and we can't change it, because one of the biggest, most important things about science is that it is absolutely necessary and encouraged to overthrow old knowledge that's built into doing proper science, is trying to kind of like refine it and improve it and change it all the time. But with religion, it's like getting stale in that sense. So if you do it properly, I wouldn't even mind too much.
Yes, well, that is a, how do you call the people then, scientismists Because we can call them scientists, right? That's a different group of people.
Basically the priest of the Church of Science.
Yes. So what I want to say is also a proponent of full-fledged scientism would subscribe to that, that the strength of science and why it is not a religion is because it is self-correcting. One of the, if you want to call them that, priests of scientism, for example, Bill Nye or Neil deGrasse Tyson, they preach that a lot, that science is superior because it is self-correcting. And that is true. That I think that is why it's one of the best knowledge generating systems we have. Doesn't mean it's not as flawed as many other things. And I think where scientism, if we can just jump to what I think is the flaw in the thinking, is that the idea, the main premise of scientism, the main premise of science, of the scientific method, is that we can observe and understand the universe, that there is a universe that we can understand, that it follows laws that we can understand, that are constant throughout the universe, at least where we can observe it, and all these things, and that we can even understand and comprehend it. This itself is not a testable hypothesis, right? This takes a certain amount of belief. You can call it an assumption that we work under, but we can't test it. And if you say, no, this is true, the science has proven that, then you kind of in a circular reasoning. Mm. And if, as a philosopher, you want to avoid that. That's why science isn't ultimate, because the underlying premise cannot be tested scientifically.
Yeah, so you're kind of like expanding science to a region where it's not supposed to be. Like similar to your example, Chris, with like trust or ethics, like science absolutely is not supposed to answer these kinds of questions.
I suppose it's the question of where science is supposed to be that's quite interesting. And I suppose this comes into the whole rise of scientism for me is, so one of the problems people have with scientism is that, or a scientism dogma, is that they see it as a way that science has tried to influence the humanities, and that you now have to apply the scientific method in realms such as psychology and sociology, where people argue, the people who are anti-scientism argue that science is not valid. And I'm intrigued with this because we have seen a growing trend in the medicalization of the human condition, of and also of the quantification of our lives using basically scientific methods. So how much you work, how happy you are, it bleeds into things like the economy and your psychological states and these sorts of things. And it's quite confronting because I agree with the scientific method. I believe it can work, but there has to be a limit at some point where we can stop, where the quantifications become either too inaccurate, or that the philosophical framework is no longer valid for these sorts of.
That's really interesting, because I think I would draw the line differently. I would say you can absolutely use the scientific method in the humanities, no problem at all. The problem comes in when you use it, when you don't ask a what question, but a should question. Like instead of what is happening, you're asking, okay, what should be happening? And I don't think that the scientific method can answer this.
Can I give some context to that? If you don't already know the context, yeah, Philip,
go for it.
The philosopher called, I think his first name is David. Excuse me if I'm wrong.
Wow, David.
John. John.
That is so disrespectful. There was this guy. I think his name was David or something.
I'm David. Yeah, cool. Okay, so philosopher David. Yeah.
Why did they even go there? Could have just said the philosopher Hume. Could have just skipped the first name. It does not matter. He's famous for many things, and one of them is his is-ought distinction, or people call it Hume's guillotine. in English, guillotine, maybe, if you pronounce the L. It's exactly what Philip just said. He claims you cannot get an is, an ought from an is, that facts don't tell us what we should do. These concepts of what we should do come from other realms of knowledge or intuition or whatever. So you can get to a sequence of shoulds, but it will always start with a should. It will not start with an is. Like, if you want this, you should do this. Then you should do this. If you want to get there, you should do this. But you can never say, because this is a fact, you should do this. Because this is a good thing to do. And then already you don't know what is a good thing or why should we even do good things. So it's a bit of a catch 22 you get into if, like, that's what Hume proposed. And there are some people who say this isn't actually a problem, and maybe we don't have to get into this. But I think that's the essential question, that I think one of the ultimate limits of science is that it cannot provide shoulds. And that's why there's a limit, like, to how far it can inform our lives.
Do we still feel like that's part of the scientism discussion, this, like, difference? Because I just proposed that's where I would draw the line, where kind of like proper science moves into scientism. But the way you describe it seems like it's maybe a different but related issue.
I don't think so. And I think my answer will get us back on track to where it all started. I think the Big Bang, not this far back, maybe, like, according to my counter here, exactly 17 minutes back. I don't know if I want to say demographics, or let's say the people proposing scientism or being proponents of scientism, especially on social media, are not the same people who talk about philosophy and Hume and ethics. But I feel like this is maybe the group of scientists or people who are into science who think philosophy isn't really, it's more like people with beards living in barrels thinking about the universe. And the people who are scientists and talk to philosophers are probably not into scientism. So I think these are maybe two different groups of people talking to each other. That is exactly why maybe Hume's guillotine is actually maybe not relevant for scientismists. And now I want to ask Chris, after all this discussion and all of this, what does it have to do with Elon Musk on social media? How would you draw this connection?
So I think the guy got me into this big rabbit hole that we're all going down together.
Holding hands.
I think he was using science, the word scientism, to mean an excessive trust now in new technology. So that his and I really should quote him, because this is unfair to just mention all of this stuff and then not refer to him. But he looks at the kind of engineering and the sort of social aspects for, he's called Adam something. And
that's even ruder.
Oh, come on.
At least I have the last name.
Yeah. And he tears apart the sort of underlying framework for some of the ideas that Elon Musk have. So it's not even engineering concepts. He's just saying, let's say you have one car with one person in it and it can travel at 30 miles an hour. It's worse than a bus filled with 60 people traveling at the same speed. And therefore, fundamentally, the idea of everyone having a self-driving car destroys the planet just as much as everyone having a normal car, even though they're electric or these sorts of things. And he's just that he's trying, railing against this starry-eyed devotion to technological progress where it isn't actually necessary or hasn't been thought through as such. And so it's, I really like that idea, and that's possibly a whole other topic in terms of whether we now are over-engineering solutions to problems because we have technology, we can do it. But actually, the real answer is everyone should just get on the bus.
I think now you bring us back on track to what is probably the, I don't know if I want to call it an issue, the bigger aspect of scientism is exactly technology and praising technology more than actual knowledge generation, but it's exactly that. When I'm on social media and I look at science pages, it's often not actual science, but it's exactly that. It's pictures of the universe and when are we finally going to travel to other stars and look at the Dyson sphere we're going to build and when are we going to become a class three civilization and all of these things. And along these posts, you see a lot of posts praising scientists or engineers almost as saints. We talked about Nobel laureates and how we as scientists almost perceive them as saints and how they become the saints of our culture in some way, which I think is a very, very real thing. And the same way is the same thing, or to the same extent, this culture of scientism praises, I think, almost engineers more than scientists. Newton, Einstein, the big figures, of course, but then Nikola Tesla, Edison is portrayed as a bad guy because I think he stole some idea from
Tesla.
Tesla, yeah, right.
I think he shat on Tesla, and everyone loves Tesla. It's like
exactly
you can't get him get away with it.
And Elon Musk is, well, I guess the name Tesla didn't come from, I don't know if he actually coined the name. It's the new Tesla, at least that's how he tries to portray himself, and that's how also how the community of scientism tries to portray him.
Actually, I would say that Elon Musk is the new Edison, because he takes ideas that are already there and he's amazing at marketing and kind of like the selling you the idea and making it happen. So maybe Tesla laid the groundwork to like make electricity a thing, but Edison actually went out and electrified cities. So that's why he is, yeah, and sold stuff and made money and got investors, which is exactly what Elon Musk is doing, right? So he needs, like, basically as Elon Musk or as in the, you don't have to have the best scientific idea. You just need to get the money to make it happen. And the bigger you think and the bigger of a personality you are, the easier your job becomes.
Just a quick sideshow. If you want to hear more about why Elon Musk is stupid, please search for Adam something. I wasn't actually forgetting his last name. It is Adam something on YouTube.
I'm so sorry.
Well, no, I wasn't sure. I thought I might have misremembered that. But anyway, yes, it is Adam something on YouTube. And you can find out why things like the Hyperloop is a stupid idea and these sorts of things. Aside from that slight promo, I think this is an interesting question. So is scientism useful to marketeers and to showmen like Elon Musk? Because he, like we've said, he's not really an engineer. He's more of a salesman for pitching investments in his new companies. But he bases his pitches on an excessively scientific and future technological product. And is that necessarily a bad thing? I mean, is it better than them selling, like paying money for some horrible insurance product or some financial derivative? Like he's trying to promote a change using technological process.
I think the harm comes in when you think about either the long-term consequences. Like, I think there's like two risks, so to speak. I think the example of electric cars and climate change is a big one, because if people are too sure that we got this figured out, and we are just having elections in Germany, and like part of that discussion is that certain parties that I'm not going to name, their solution is always technology. No, we don't have to cut down on anything. We just need to like engineer our way out of this. And I think that's a very, very risky road to take. So overconfidence in science that the gods of science are going to provide is a very risky strategy long-term. So that's the one thing. And then even short term, I think people are going to take risks that they otherwise wouldn't. Like one of Elon Musk's companies that I'm a big fan of, what is called Neuralink. Yeah, Neuralink. Yeah.
So like the ones with the pigs that play games.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So I was such a big fanboy when he started his company. And ever since stuff has come out, I'm kind of like doing an 180 on this one. And I would assume that if he actually brings a product on the market, people are going to buy it. And it might either be dangerous or useless or like people, it's like snake oil in that sense. Like, I don't know how it's going to go, but I'm going to make a small prediction here that I think Neuralink is not going to provide what people think it's going to provide. So there's like harm to consumers in the short term, and there's harm to the whole planet in the long term, worst case scenarios.
Yeah, I think I would absolutely agree with Philip, and I know our listener hate if we all just agree all the time. So, but maybe you got to disagree with what I say now. The technology and technological advancement and science are so inseparable right now. It is so clear that when we say science, we also think technology. It's exemplified that STEM part of science, part of STEM is science and technology, and science is not linked with philosophy and gaining knowledge, which is maybe a good thing, but maybe not, because what is good anyway? It's a very, very relative concept. So we're in the right place, and what is right anyway? Okay, I'm not going to go down there. But it's science is interlinked, super interlinked with technology. And it is definitely good at making new things. And a lot of things come out of scientific research all the time. And also things that do help us build a healthier planet, because before scientific findings or technologies built on scientific findings have fucked up the planet. So I guess this is not only a good thing. Definitely progress can also have negative side effects. We've seen them all the time. So I'm an absolute proponent of science, and I love being a scientist, and I love science as the system it is to provide knowledge and understand the universe, and also to improve the human condition. But it has definitely also made it worse. That's not where I wanted this rant to go down.
Gosh,
it didn't want to end up here.
Wow, such a very depressed. But I think it's really that's a really good example. So like if we keep with the electric car Elon Musk thing, the petrol car was touted as the solution to the pollution problem that was horse manure in cities. And everyone was like, oh, thank God, this petrol car is so clean and beautiful. It's so great. And everyone's like, oh, this is the future. Everyone's super happy. And like, you know, autobahns and highways in the US became the vision of the future. Whole cities were constructed around it. And the car turns out to have a problem, namely global warming. Yeah. Also, they're pretty miserable and kill a lot of people. I think we need to think about this more instead of just being like, oh yeah, technology or science is better. It's going to get better each time round. You maybe put off or solve the problem that you aim to solve, but then will be more problems. Who knows what the next problems are? I mean,
what's the solution though? Do you just stop making progress and go back to not using tools? Just very blatantly now. That's
I think because this is basically my job at the moment is to keep solving the problem that I make happen after solving another problem. I think you can keep doing that. That is almost. A definition of existence.
Maybe that is the human condition.
That is the human condition. Maybe it's not science's problem. It's more just a human problem. But I think it's the key thing here is science only works when it questions itself constantly. And the rise of scientism stops that questioning happening. And by questioning scientism, we can get back to this point. So we should always find new technology, whether or not we should implement it. Is this actually morally, socially, or even scientifically? Like, because we often don't check our assumptions. The assumption is the electric car is going to be a good thing, but no one's tested that. And in fact, I read a really interesting example of why maybe Elon Musk's plan for the future is a problem. So the idea of the self-driving car is that we would no longer be drivers, there would be less traffic and this sort of thing. So there was an experiment where they gave a small community chauffeurs for months, some number of months, and wondered what they would be like as a proxy for a self-driving car. They said, here's an actual chauffeur-driven service, what use it as you want. And the experiment led to a massive increase in the number of trips taken. So people were using their cars a lot more. And so you can imagine that if we all have driving cars, congestion, us sitting in traffic jams, okay, if they're electric, we're not polluting the place as much, but they're still, we would rise. And that actually is a problem. So it means that we just need to think more holistically and think about the impacts of individual developments on the systems as a whole, I think. And that is something that science isn't very good at the moment.
And I think it shouldn't be like science. I don't think that would be the the field of science anyway. Like we said, it's not up to science to decide stuff. We as humans decide, like science in that sense is just a tool or the scientific method. But what I wanted to say is that I think the problem is not improvement. And sorry for throwing around a cliche, but I think it's capitalism, that whatever capitalism takes is trying to crank out the maximum amount of efficiency and to sell the most crap to the most people. So there's nothing wrong with an electric car. And if you there's nothing even wrong with a petrol car if you have like 10 in a city or 100. But the moment you go too big, then you're running into problems. It has to, like, everybody has to have a car now. Like, my family has 3 cars now. For three people. Like, what the fuck? That doesn't make any sense. Why?
It's so interesting. I'm so fascinated or shocked right now. I agree. And can I maybe, I don't know, I hope I'm not insulting you. I think you're the strongest opponent of capitalism I know.
What? Me? The fuck? Eat the rich, man. A lot of my friends. Sorry, please don't come for me. Eat the rich. I'm with you guys.
That was interesting. It went off the rails. Wow. But okay, cool. I think we're all happy. Can I conclude this episode with a classic last statement on the issue of scientism? If you could only say one more thing on the issue, what can we do one round? What is your conclusion? We should start with Chris, the host.
Okay, cool.
Let's end on Chris. Philip, you go. Then I go. Then Chris.
So one thing I wanted to say, which we haven't talked about, is I think there's an additional risk to scientism. And it's that if you have such a strong belief in science and you think that science is correct without that extra step of science is improving and kind of adapting, then you run a very big risk of people getting disillusioned and you get a backlash to science as a whole. So scientism is basically fucking up the game for everybody else. And we've seen that in the pandemic, and we've seen that, like, I think, like, exercise science is an amazing thing, or like nutritional science, where people go, well, I don't know. Like, first they said eggs are bad, no, eggs are good, you know, like, maybe I can just keep smoking because they don't really know. Or with COVID, it was, well, first they said you don't need the mask. No, you need the mask. So all of this is bullshit. Nothing matters. You know, and I think this, so there's a big risk of scientism that it just erodes the general confidence into properly made science overall. And I think we should keep that in mind for sure. End of final statement.
That was good. I like that.
It's a good final statement, man. We could expand this to so much, and let's not go down there. We leave it here. I do think scientism is very dangerous, not only for science, but also for society. Like, all these side effects, or these very negative side effects we have mentioned now, are, I think, an absolute threat for the future of our society. I think science is good at a lot of things, but it is not good at saying, no, I'm not even going to go there. Often science is good at saying where we should go. Definitely often it is. but science is mainly good at telling you at how things are, not how we should things do, unless the is goal is clear. If you want to get to a certain point, science is good at solving a problem. For example, if you want to go to a certain point, you don't know how to get there. Science is going to do a better job with this than the Bible is. But this still is not all the problems we have in our society. So I think if you have a very good, very well-defined question, it's good to ask a scientist. But if you don't have a well-defined question, maybe we shouldn't go there straight away. That's what I'm going to leave it for today.
Mic drop.
I like it. I think I would say that on a personal level, the discovery of the word scientism and the concepts behind it was a little bit difficult, because I definitely have previously and probably continue to be slightly in awe and reverential of science in general. But I like the constant questioning. And I think even in other realms, you can take the idea that you check whether consistently held things are actually true. You can constantly keep doing the scientific circle of checking, even in things like justice and that sort of thing. So I'm a bit more pro-scientism even now than maybe you two are. But in terms of the excessive belief, it's corrosive to the actual scientific method. And I agree completely. It's corrosive to any public trust in science. People in a sense shouldn't trust science. They should wait and watch as the cycle continues. You know, first masks are said to be good, now they're bad. More research is definitely needed, and we'll cycle again through this. And it will turn out to be a messy and complicated answer in the end. It will be, they're good in these contexts, they're bad in these contexts, they're this, they're that. But that will all come as a result of the scientific method constantly questioning itself. Boom.
Boom. That was today. Chris is great at making outros. Thank you very much for listening.
And see you in 2 weeks.
Goodbye.